Welcome, movie fans. We are David and Melissa from ThatMomentIn.com, and up next, our review of Devil in the Dark. Devil in the Dark is about two estranged brothers who find themselves stalked by a terrifying unknown presence while on a weekend hunting trip in the remote British Columbian forests. Melissa, you know what? Looking at the title, Devil in the Dark, looking at the way it's labeled, the genre is horror and thriller, this movie threw me for a loop. It is not at all what I thought.
No, me neither. I actually was expecting it to be like a shoddy B horror movie. The kind I've seen 100 times before, because everyone knows my proclivity for horror movies.
Right.
That usually leads me astray. And so I was expecting it this time, and boy, was I surprised.
Yeah, I mean, the poster itself is super compelling. But it does have, again, it has that horror monster in the dark kind of feel to it. And it is that. It does have that element. And it does, it has a lot of psychological stuff going on. But it is not, I don't think it is traditionally a monster in the dark film in that sense. And it really doesn't have any of that until way, way towards the last part of the film, right? It's mostly a build-up to what's happening. It's a character study of these two brothers that has a lot of depth to it, I think.
I think so too. I thought that the storyline was really great. I really love the dynamic between the two of them. It really depicted an interesting relationship. It showed the kind of family struggles that I feel a lot of people most likely deal with.
Right.
And the flashbacks to their childhood and their father and their mother. There are so many layers to it, I found. I thought that there was a lot of depth there.
I agree.
And there was a lot of there was a lot that you could kind of glean from these little snippets of their lives. And I really liked it. I thought there was a lot going on. It immediately grabbed my attention.
Yeah.
And it held on throughout. I was very pleased. I'm still kind of surprised because I really didn't think it was going to be as good as it ended up being.
Yeah. I'm still on a kind of a high because I just finished watching it, and I really am taken by it. Let's get a little more in detail about, I guess, the plot as we can best we can without spoiling too much. But it is about two brothers, and they are estranged in the fact that it's been like 15 years since they've really, really seen each other. They were raised by a outdoorsman kind of father who really kind of took to the older brother. Now, his name is Clint, and as an adult, he's played by Dan Payne. And he and his father really share a lot of the, right from when he was a young child all the way up to his adult, that whole hunting lifestyle, the outdoorsy lifestyle. But Adam, played by Robin Dunn as an adult, but as a child, has an experience was he 4 or 5 years old?
Yeah.
In the woods that has changed him forever, so that he has no interest in killing animals, going into the woods, being an outdoorsman at all. He prefers to stay in and read books. But there's more to it than that, right? And so we don't really even know what separated them. We just know that Adam has come back after 15 years, and he is the one who has initiated a trip into the woods to go hunting to bond with his brother, we think. And we realize that the event that happened when he was a child is not something he remembers. It's something that Clint remembers. And I think that really was shocking to me, because it's set up to be something that happened to this boy that has maybe haunted him throughout his life, but it didn't. It was the other way around. It haunted Clint. And I think that was a great twist.
I think so too. And as you mentioned, it was a really great way to start the movie, because they started with the kid being lost in the woods, and it's just the dad and the older brother, Clint, kind of desperately searching for Adam, this younger brother.
Yeah.
And it really raised the stakes. And then when you find him, the younger brother, there's something that's not quite right.
Mm-hmm.
And you think that, you definitely think, you know what, this has an impact on what's going on later on. This is something that's going to stay with him. And then to discover that it isn't something that he's even really thought about consciously, at least. It was really interesting. I thought that was a good choice as well.
Yeah, it's directed by Tim Brown, written by Carrie Dixon, and I really want to, because I don't want to lose track here for a second, but the direction by Tim Brown is really good. As we said at the beginning, this film is not what it appears. It seems like it's going to be a B grade VOD movie, and this film is much more. And I think we've done it many times, Melissa. I keep doing this. I keep bringing up The Babadook, and I see shades of this in this film as well, because it is. I think and again, I don't want to spoil too much, but I think this is layered in about guilt, right? It's about guilt, a whole a lot of guilt that stems from a lifetime between these two brothers.
I think there are shades of it. I don't know if I would put them in the same league.
Yeah, right.
Like, this movie is surprisingly good. It's quite good, but I don't think it's Babadook good
No,
by
no,
any
no, no, no,
means.
no, no, not at all.
But yeah, I like how a lot of horror movies now are kind of putting a lot of thought behind the drive of the characters, whereas previously they just kind of throw people in like terrible situations and they sort of kind of sit back and say, let's see how this goes. Like, it doesn't seem like there's a tremendous amount of thought in a lot of movies that I've seen, but in this one there was there's a lot of different driving factors, and there's a lot more below the surface that you can kind of decipher as you go along.
I'm so glad you said that, because I think there is a, I don't want to say rebirth, but an evolution in this genre. I think there's a really a new path for psychological horror that's being made. And I know you and I have disagreed on some of the films that would fall into this genre. Right here on the show, we've had some disagreements, but I think a lot of writers and filmmakers are trying to give the standard horror monster in the dark genre a bit more meaning with it, and develop characters so that when we watch it, I think there's like two audiences, right? There's audiences that can go and I just want to be scared by something, and some who want to find, like me, who want to find something maybe deeper in the story, maybe not even there from the writer, but something that I can glean myself, maybe ambiguously. And I think that this is another good example of that.
I think so too. Yeah, I think it was very well done. And back to the director, I think he did a really great job of creating a sense of atmosphere. I think that's one of the main successes of this movie, is that the scariest part is just them like being in the woods, and you don't really know what's going on. And so many good choices. Like, the lair of the monster was just covered in antlers, and it was terrifying. It was so scary. And like the entrance they had to crawl through, and it was
Terrifying.
such like a claustrophobic, small sort of like tunnel that they're crawling through, and then these antlers are like clawing at them. And then when they get into the lair, it's this big open space, and this monster can be hiding anywhere. I thought so many choices like that were so good, and using the most of this like of the location. They were filming in British Columbia, and just beautiful, beautiful shots, beautiful backgrounds, and the nature aspect of it was so good. They really took advantage of the location, and I was really pleasantly surprised with the cinematography as well. Just good choices all around.
Yeah, they had a lot of cool drone shots, I think, that allowed us to see. And that's a really good, it's a good decision too by the director. I think that the drone shots really helped establish the isolation of the two characters, because it does pull back and you can see the mountainous areas, and yet a lot of the film is very claustrophobic. It's right in tight. And what surprises me is that out of so many movies in this genre that I've seen, and you too as well, that I can still feel a sense of tension in the beam of light in the dark forest shot. There's just like this limbic system scare. It's just a baser fear in me, I guess, where I when I see a dark forest, and it's a classic shot in this genre where, there's a flashlight shining in the light, and you're searching the light for whatever it is that's going to be there, right? And
Yeah, exactly.
even though I think, maybe purists might be a little disappointed because the monster is really not in the film a lot, and I don't, I mean, it may be a little bit of a spoiler, but it is there. But I think it works really well because it is so hard to see in that respect. And when you go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it's funny that you mentioned that because I actually, one of my critiques of this movie is that I wanted to see the monster even less. There's one point where the monster's revealed, like the light shines on the monster, and I was so disappointed because it's the monster that you don't see, the devil in the dark, is way scarier than the one that you do see. And obviously, it's a low budget movie, so they didn't have a budget to like maybe make it look as good as it needed to or as I wanted it to. And so when I saw it, I was disappointed. So I
Interesting.
would have preferred if it had just stuck to the shadows and been this kind of ominous present, or ominous presence. But when they showed it, I was actually a little disappointed.
I'm glad you brought that up too, because I can't say I was disappointed, but what it did, what it definitely did, and I even think that the poster makes it clear too, is it definitely made it a monster. And there are films that I like that you don't, I know of a recent one that didn't show the monster because the monster, in my opinion, isn't real. And I was hoping, part of me was hoping that this film also made the monster not real. And it's still, I think there is some room for interpretation where the monster might not be real because it seems to come and go, and things happen and things don't happen. And for me, I'm taking this, Melissa, as a metaphorical journey for Clint, not so much Adam. And I think that as the movie progresses, especially towards a remarkable scene at the end there, where Clint decides to leave Adam at one point, and he ends up having a very emotional breakdown. I thought that was very effective, and then he goes back in. To me, I at that point I was like, ah, this is definitely Clint's story, and this is, I think, a metaphorical journey, even though there are some tangible things happening. But what was your opinion of that? Do you think there is some ambiguity about this part, or?
You know what? I feel like in a lot of movies that you and I both watch, you like to take it more metaphorical, where I like to take it more literal. Which is it's a great like difference of opinion, and although I like the metaphorical like interpretations of it and like the deeper meaning that you can glean from it, I still feel like it actually happened and it is like a real story of these brothers within obviously the realm of this movie. And then their background just kind of adds to it. So I definitely took it a little more literally, like it was actually happening to them, and they need to kind of sort of work together to figure out what's going on and to help each other. But you know what? Speaking of the older brother Clint, played by Dan Payne, he was a great casting choice
Oh
for
my,
this role. I thought that his performance was incredible. And when, as you mentioned, he kind of went off on his own and is struggling with himself, whether he goes back for his brother or not, that was so well done. That could have easily been very hokey, but his performance was so genuine. And then on the other hand, I really wasn't crazy about Robin Dunn's performance. And it was funny because as I was watching it, I was thinking to myself, I've seen him before. And then I quickly looked him up, and sure enough, he's in some of those Hallmark Christmas movies that I reviewed. And you know what? Like he's fine. He's a good choice, I suppose. But I don't know. I didn't think he was particularly the most
I don't know. Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. There's something about, well, you know, it's in comparison, right? Because and I don't know if the character was written that way. Because of what did happen to him as a child, if that is somehow affecting him, he is haunted by these visions and nightmares. But it is a curious take on the part, and it wasn't distracting for me. It wasn't a letdown, but. What Dan Payne does with the evolution of his character from Clint from the beginning to the end, I think it's pretty remarkable. And I do believe that Dunn's performance is a little underwhelming in comparison to that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like it's maybe not even a fair comparison because I don't know, like this might be kind of harsh, but I feel like Payne is almost a different level of actor than Dunn.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't know. I would have liked to see someone else maybe in Adam's role. And this movie would have just gone even to a higher level for me.
Yeah. There absolutely is no doubt that Payton carries this film. His presence is really strong. And he's been in a few movies before, but it's some big name, big movies before, but he carries this movie in no doubt. You talked about how I tend to think more metaphorically. Let me just throw something out there at you, and it's a simple, easy one. I think is that it's the antlers. You mentioned that the lair that this monster has is it's just a ring, a tunnel of just antlers. There's thousands of them, and I. Obviously, I made the connection between that and the childhood deer hunting scene.
Right.
And where Clint, he gets his first kill and he talks about, you know, he was a 12-point buck or whatever. And that led to a serious confrontation between the brothers. And I still haven't connected it because I just finished watching the film. It's still brewing in my mind. But I really want to take that whole element about deer hunting and the deer itself and the antlers as something, because even the monster on the poster is gorgeous. It's got this giant rack of antlers on his head. And I just like, I'm like, I want to make a connection. Do you think that's purposeful?
I think it is purposeful. I think it is definitely relevant. I think that directors in general have a reason for everything. So I do think that was a purposeful choice, but at the same time, I think that it's the same as the rest of the movie. There's layers to it, right? So there's an underlying layer of meaning for it. And then there's just like, you know, it's a monster in the woods and this is how it, you know, furnishes its den. So yeah, I think there's definitely, something to do with that, because even when they're starting out on their little on their camping trip or
odyssey
or whatever you want to call it, while they are starting out, they make comments about hunting deer. Yes. And Adam, the younger brother, keeps going on about how it's murdering them, how it's killing them, and then Clint, the older brother, keeps saying that it's harvesting them, right? Mm-hmm, and so they have such different opinions on it, and it does seem to continuously circle around the idea of hunting deer.
Right.
So I do think it does have some kind of significance, but at the same time, just for face value, it was a really good choice in the sense that it was so scary. It's like it was almost like little hands reaching out and grabbing them as they're crawling through this tunnel.
Yeah.
I have never seen a monster's lair as scary as that one. It was so good.
Yeah, there were definitely some great moments in that. And not to spoil anything, let's get to the end here. But the ending, and let's not say what it is, but the final frame, the final freeze frame, the final moments, wow, right? I mean, I was gut busted. I was like, what?
Yeah, you know what though? I don't know if I liked it.
Shocked. Yeah.
I was shocked when I saw it and I had that moment of what? And then as I thought about it, I was like, no, I don't like that. I don't like it at all, because it's supposed to be Oh, it's hard to talk about without
I
like
know,
giving anything
right?
away.
Yeah.
So maybe I'll just leave it at I don't.
You're
The
not
more I
sold
think
on
about
it.
it, the less I like how it ended.
And you see, I'm completely the opposite. The more I'm thinking about it, the more I really like the ending. I really do. Yeah. Interesting, right?
Might
All
have to
right.
talk about this one, David.
Yeah. All right, Melissa, for Devil in the Dark, out of 5 stars, how many are you going to give it?
I'm gonna give it 4.
Four. I'm the same. I'm going to give it 4 stars. Thanks for listening. For more reviews and daily posts, head on over to our website, thatmomentin.com.